Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. Today, we're going to continue a conversation that we began last week with John Paul and I talking about transitions in ministry. Such an important topic for you as student ministry leaders to make sure and have a full view of what those transitions look like we talked about last week, involving the parents, involving other ministries of the church, so that students don't fall away during these common transition moments. Well, we wanted to talk to somebody else who speaks a lot about these transition moments, who's been in student ministry for decades and has seen a lot of transition happen as in student ministries that he's been a part of and that he's led. So you're going to be listening to a recording of a conversation that I had with Jeff Lovingood, the senior associate pastor of church in Cleveland, Tennessee, First Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee, has been in student ministry for a long time. We'll get into that and is in charge of overseeing the next gen ministries of his church there in Cleveland. So you're going to really benefit from the wisdom and experience that Jeff Lovingood has seen specifically in student ministry and in these transition moments. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. As usual, if you haven't yet, here's your reminder to head over to iTunes, leave a positive rating and review, and we will see you next time. Jeff is a good friend of mine, known Jeff for several years. He's right now serving as the senior associate pastor at First Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. Has been involved in Next Gen Ministry. If you want to say how many years, Jeff, I'll let you. But it's been years and years.
I started back in 2000.
There you go.
Running that time.
Yeah. So before that, Jeff was on staff at Long Hollow Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee, and is author of Make It Last, which is one of the books that we recommend, the four books that anybody in youth, starting out in youth ministry, needs to read. So if you haven't read Make It Last, Jeff is the author of that. So make sure you check that one out. Also, married to Rachel, father of three. So right. Jeff, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself beyond those things?
Absolutely. Well, I've been in ministry for 33 years, being Louisiana, Fort Lauderdale with, I worked with O.S. Hawkins as a pastor, and Ken Whitten. I went to Idlewild for a while at a great church, and I was in Knoxville at First Baptist Concord. And then I was at Long Hollow for 14 years with Dave Lambeth, a senior pastor, and saw God do a lot of cool things. It's kind of funny. You know, I spent the two of the greatest years of my life in seventh grade, just barely made it through middle school, but finally finished my doctoral work at Southeastern, and I'm an adjunct professor. Really, doing a next generation strategy, you can get your D-Men at Southeastern Seminary in next generation ministry.
Yeah.
And so I get to be a professor there. So then First Baptist Cleveland, David Lambeth passed away, you know, and of cancer. And I've been here at First Baptist Cleveland for about a year and a half. Just felt like God wanted me to go from a kind of a non-traditional setting back to a traditional setting to help a church transition, because I think there's a lot of churches, a lot in the South that need some help in transitioning with culture changes.
Yeah, specifically in the area of next gen ministry and how that's approached and something that you and I have talked about several times before. And I know your doctoral work has all been in next gen ministry, but in how Next Gen Ministry can be seen really as a strategy for the whole church, not just what you do when they're that age group. So talk a little bit about how your Next Gen strategy is something that fits for the whole church.
Right. Well, for years in ministry, I'm getting kind of long in the tooth, if you will, I was a youth minister or student minister, and I was kind of frustrated because we had the silo structure. You had your pastor, you had your ministry education, you had preschool children, middle school, high school, and adults, all in kind of silos competing for the resources of the church, whether it be finances, facility, and staffing. They competed for those resources, and usually where the pastor paid attention or the executive pastor and ministry education paid attention to the adults because of money and influence. And here I was, a student minister, like, I'm fighting for all these resources, and when I got the resources was when the pastor's kids were in my youth ministry. And so I said, that's just crazy, because the world is talking about collaboration, building community, working in teams, and we're fighting for the resources. And we were frustrated by what we were getting when they were getting college or into young adults. So I developed a strategy, if you will, in the 90s of preschool, children, middle school, high school, and even college, if you will, if you wanted to, working in community together, developing a strategy, if you will, a spiritual development plan for developing a student. See, I always think that preschool is not a babysitting service. They're a student. They're learning. They're growing.
Yeah.
From birth to two, how much does, you know, what does a child, a preschooler, learn from birth to two? And so it's a student development from birth all the way through high school or college, and parent development, and a worker development plan. And what I found to be true, this is not just, it is a discipleship strategy, but it is also an evangelistic strategy. I think most of the people pray to receive Christ before the age of 15. The median age of somebody praying to receive Christ is 10. So maybe your most evangelistic kid in the church could be an 11-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And we don't think they're old enough maybe to do that, but we can develop them into that point. Wow, look what you have then. And what I found to be true at Long Hollow is when we worked in community, working with the bridge years, mm-hmm. you know, from preschool to kindergarten, if you will, from middle school to high school, from elementary school to middle school. Now you work on building a budget together. You work on parent strategy together. You work on a worker strategy together. Now, what kind of picture do you have? It's not just us and them. It's a we process, and it's a strategy that I think has been successful.
Jeff, you mentioned a couple things, and this is something that I think probably a lot of student pastors have questions about. And you mentioned the transition years, those bridge years. Talk about some things that you saw to help transition from that, whether for some it's that fifth grade to sixth grade or sixth grade to seventh grade, that transition from children's ministry into the middle school ministry or into the youth ministry. And then, so that would be like the front end. And then talk about some things that you saw, because knowing your ministries and knowing you firsthand, I know that you guys had a lot of buy-in from your older high school students. That senior year was something that was really special in ministries that you were a part of and that you led. So talk about what you saw succeed in that transition at the beginning when they were coming in, and then what you did to help them stay. And, you know, like right now, we're heading into the last part of of their final semester. What'd you do that saw them stay and be so committed that last semester?
Well, those are great questions. And what we found to be true is when our preschool ministry, children's ministry, middle school, high school ministry, and even college ministry worked as a team together, developing a strategy, say, hey, what do we want our take-homes to be in preschool? What are our take-homes in children, middle school, high school? What do we desire to see the student to become at the end? So we start with the end in mind, and so we process them all the way through. So the preschool and the children's minister is not the only one that looks at the milestone ministry, the bridge years.
Yeah.
You have everybody buying into that, say, hey, this is what we see happening there, whether it's at the birth is child dedication, if you will. And at going into children's ministry, it's they get a Bible. We have a Bible process where we present them a Bible, and all the parents are involved in that. Then going from elementary school to middle school, as we have a celebration, a party, and it's just a design of a student coming of age, if you will. That is a milestone type of thing. Going from middle school to high school is a way to help them to be on mission with God. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that look like to be on mission and almost present them as student missionaries, if you will, going into high school? And then at your senior year, you build to that process. And what happens in many churches, they lose them at that time. But we developed, if you will, a senior booklet for students that they add in the small groups. They add to that booklet all year long, and they have discussions. So they take that booklet to college as they face those issues, if you will. They use that booklet only when they're at UT or Vanderbilt or MTSU, the universities they go to around Tennessee. They use that booklet as they face those issues in college.
Yeah.
So what we try to do, to answer your question, work as a team, look at all of us, look at the milestone ministries together, and it's a spiritual development process looking at the milestone ministries.
Yeah. You mentioned parents in there too, and I know that parents are a huge part of student ministry and really more and more awareness around the question of how to do parent ministry. I mean, it's rising. There's more and more awareness around that question. You did student ministry as a parent of young children.
Right.
You did student ministry as a parent of children in the student ministry. You led Next Gen Ministries and watched other student pastors invest in your kids. So why do you think parent ministry is as difficult as it can be sometimes? And why do you think that the code to cracking the best way to do parent ministry seems to still be out there? Like you ask, and it's people are still like, man, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I haven't really figured it out. Why is the question not being, this is the one answer for parent ministry yet?
Well, that's a great question, Ben. Here I am, and you and I talked about this before we got on, and Rachel and I are an empty nest, and have done this for 30 plus years now. Rachel and I have been married 30 years this year, and so I have two kids basically in ministry full-time, and the other one, I guess, feel like he's in ministry, hopefully serving at the pleasure of Coach Jones at University of Tennessee. So here I am, here we are now at the time where we're consultants, if you will, to our kids, and hopefully get invited back into their lives, because they don't have to invite us back in because they're adults.
Yeah.
And, it's so crazy now, Rachel and I get asked to do conferences or speak to young parents now a lot. I'm like, I think all the ways that I messed up, Rachel was good. I was terrible. A middle school girl, I was terrible. I think it's lonely as a student minister doing parent ministry, because I feel like we're alone. And I think sometimes in ministry, we don't, like I was saying a while ago, us working as a team, as a preschool minister, children's ministry, and student ministers, working as a team, developing a parent ministry strategy, holistic strategy. Because a lot of times we'll throw a blanket over parent ministry and say, we're doing parent ministry because we have a conference or we have classes.
Yeah.
What is your strategy for parents of a two-year-old, a seven-year-old parent, a parent of a seven-year-old, a middle schooler, a high schooler? All parenting times are very different, but what is my strategy of developing a parent?
Yeah.
Walking with them through a process. And I don't develop that process by myself. We develop that process as a team approach. And I think when we do that, our parent ministry is a lot better. I think we realize this, the cow follows the calf. Now, that's an interesting statement. We're going to reach a lot of parents through their kids.
Yeah.
A lot of times we do parent ministry to take care of the parents we have. How are we going to do parent ministry to reach the parents that are not here yet?
Yeah.
Because a parent of a kid of a seventh grader that has been parenting in the church world, if you will, going to church for years, is a lot different than a lost parent just basically new in your ministry. So how do I do that?
Yeah.
So I think we got to develop a strategy on how to look at parent ministry holistically instead of you know, parenting Christian parents of a 7th or 11th grader, you know, that is tough enough.
Yeah.
How do I do it holistically? I think we do it as a team approach, developing a strategy, if you will, of development for the parents.
Yeah, that's a good word, because I think you're right in that most often when people talk about parent ministry, they go to what you described, you know, the parents of the 7th grader that's grown up in the church, and, you know, how do I minister to this parent? Well, that's one slice of the parent ministry.
Right.
If you're, like you said, if you're really taking the holistic view of parent ministry, then you're looking at, okay, what about these lost parents over here whose kids are on my son's football team or whatever, you know, they're just relationships right. in the community.
Right.
How are you ministering to those parents and getting the cow to follow the calf, like you mentioned earlier? That's a right. good Tennessee reference right
that
there.
That is country and cornbread. You know, I think that we do things, the milestone ministry celebration type things from preschool all the way through to high school, you will reach a lot of lost parents that will come to a celebration, a milestone celebration. So in essence, in that, how do I reach that lost parent that might only come one time to a milestone bridge year celebration of a student entering into that age group?
Yeah, that's good. The other thing that I was going to mention that I really like about the team approach that you keep coming back to is that, say, my son will be in the student ministry next year. So, and I don't serve as a full-time student pastor in the local church now. So, at this time, I won't have the experience of leading a student ministry with my own kids in it. But I've had children now long enough to know that being a student pastor of teenagers is different than parenting a teenager by far. And you mentioned some of the, maybe the loneliness or inadequacies that, especially as a young student pastor, I know I felt in trying to reach out to parents because, man, I don't know their world, you know? Yeah. It's so hard to know the world without being a parent of that age kid. But I think what's beautiful about that team approach and strategy is that if the parent is buying in to the team and to the strategy, then that brings with it a level of credibility that's begun for them. Also, as me as a student pastor, I inherit the credibility and the approach that the whole team is taking.
Right.
I don't have to re-earn that relationship and that support at right. that transition year.
Absolutely. You know, your youth ministry is only good as what you're getting from the children's ministry.
Yeah.
Why don't you pour in to what you desire to see your kids or ministry to be, so you're pouring into each other's ministry, so we're developing a holistic student, if you will, and a parent strategy that's holistic, and not only that, a worker strategy that's holistic.
Yeah.
If we're fighting each other for workers, you're talking about how to develop workers and then where they should best fit. And so,
that's good.
You earn credibility as a team. And then if I go to a parent like you and I have a student development guide or a parent development guide and a worker development guide that I give them, say, here's how we're going to develop you as a parent. Here's our strategy.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen to your student from preschool all the way through to high school or college. And here's what's going to happen to all the workers. Now they're looking at us like, wow. Y'all thought through this process, not as an individual, but as a team.
Yeah, that's great. So let's, this final question I kind of wanted to end with is around the whole church strategy. So talk me through, say I'm at a church and this sounds awesome to me, but there's not a clearly stated, this is our strategy for Next Gen Ministries, yeah. or... maybe even from the people above me,
right.
it doesn't seem like there's a lot of energy being put towards that.
Right.
How can I, as a student pastor, lead up in a really respectful way,
right. right.
And try to get something like this implemented? And then how can I lead laterally with the children's minister, the preschool minister, however that plays out in each church context?
Right.
How can I lead the people up and around me to embrace this idea?
That is a great question, Ben. I get that question asked a lot at the seminary at Southeastern. I think one is this. A lot of people might think this strategy is best well done at a major church. Well, I don't think so. I think it's best well, you could do it at a smaller church. I was talking to a pastor who's a pastor of a church running about 100 to 150, and he said, I can only afford one full-time staff person as a preschool person, children's person, or a youth person. The other ones are volunteer. And I said, well, which is your biggest need? Well, he said, I think I need a student guy. Well, why don't you take a student guy, and then he works as a team with a preschool volunteer, it's all the preschool ministry, and a children's volunteer, and y'all work as a team. You're the professional, if you will, developing a strategy like we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So it can work at all sizes of churches. The toughest one, I was talking to several major churches about this strategy, and it's tougher for a huge church because they become territorial, if you will.
Yeah.
But once they start understanding, it's not jumping in, you know, we're not throwing them in the river in their territory of children's ministry or preschool ministry, but we're making the holistic picture a lot better, they become less territorial. But it starts from the top, just like you're saying. I got to be able to sell my pastor. And what I try to do with them when I'm going to talk to them about ideas is to sell them on why. Why are we going to do this? And for them to buy into why we're doing it. And then explain the how we're going to do it in such a way that they understand that it is, why are we going to do it? Because we want to make a disciple.
Yeah.
Now, what's the best way to make a disciple? When does discipleship start? I was talking to a lot of great pastors. I said, I think you think like a bunch of pastors because you think about developing a discipleship when they're an adult. That's way too late.
Yeah.
We develop a disciple as a preschooler.
Yeah, that's good.
When they touch the Bible, when they sing, you know, that's when we should look at developing a disciple. And it's discipleship oriented. It's outreach minded. We're thinking about how to not just to keep up with what we have coming, is how we're going to reach those parents or those students who don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's a passion of discipleship with outreach in mind, or reaching people with evangelism in mind. That's the why.
Yeah.
The why is also not just for the student development, it's parents. It's the why we're going to develop, why is it important to develop a parent?
Yeah.
So those are the whys. And how, it's got to be a how that the pastor can understand, that he can communicate from the pulpit. And then he's got to see what it looks like. Paint a picture for it. Say, this is what this looks like.
Yeah.
And then help him to understand the part that everybody plays. And then, hey, at the end, pastor, this is the celebration. This is what this is going to look like. So he buys into those components of why and how he can understand it. He sees it because you've painted a picture for him. He understands everybody's part they're playing, and he knows the win.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I lead up. That's the way I would lead, you know, parallel, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I would lead below, is why, how, paint a picture. Everybody knows the part they're playing, and then celebrate the win.
Yeah. And that framework, excellent for this, is an excellent framework anytime you're casting right. vision
right.
for. So I love that. So start with the why and go to the how, paint a picture, celebrate the wins. That's a great way to look at it. So
I think it's the greatest time in the history of the world to do student ministry. Mm-hmm. I really do. Some people say, how would you say that? It's so crazy. You know, because I think you look at this generation of Gen Z, and I think we can reach the world through these students
yeah.
who really have a passion to reach their friends.